There's something really deep-seated in our desire to be reunited with our loved ones. Only this morning, I was hearing, just as you were coming onto the screen, people whose family are spread far and wide. My mum and dad are in Norfolk, and I was very thrown yesterday because my mum rang me, and my mum never rings me. When the number came up on the phone, I thought, oh crikey, who's she ringing to tell me someone's died? Because that's normally what happens. I'd forgotten that I had arranged for a delivery to arrive, and she was ringing to tell me it had arrived in one piece, and she was delighted with it. So it was good news, not bad. But actually, there is a desire to be more than just able to send gifts or bunches of flowers. Somebody was saying they'd had a big bunch of flowers arrive this morning as it's Mothering Sunday. And but there's something more than that. And I know I've heard people who live alone who just say, I just want a hug. I want to be returned into the arms of the person who loves me. I want a hug. And I think when we see our news at the moment, we're starting to see that those kind of things are happening. When our children went back to school last week, the joy that we saw on the television when the children went back into the playgrounds and saw their friends again and could spend time in close proximity to them is really special. The number of stories that I've seen on the news over the last few weeks when family members have been able to visit loved ones in care homes, despite the restrictions, maybe they've had to wear gloves or whatever. But there are tears. There are so many tears of joy and relief to be able to be returned to the arms of the ones who love them. And Mothering Sunday is one of those days. Traditionally, in the church calendar, it is really a time when people would return, if they were in servitude to in the community, they would have a Sunday when they could return to their mother church. So Mothering Sunday initially was not about going to visit your mum, but because returning to your mother church took you back to the area that you came from, the opportunity arose to pop in and see mum. And I know one of the traditions is to take a simnel cake on Mothering Sunday or a bunch of daffodils to visit mum and to say hi to mum. But there is something really important also about recognising that we go back to the place from which we come, to the church where we would have been baptised, to the place of faith that nurtured us, back into the arms of God, who loves us. And this is a really deep-seated desire when we stop and think about it. But before we come to think more about that, I just want to remember the reading we heard in Genesis about God when he spoke to Israel. And it's really interesting that at the beginning of Genesis 46, God doesn't speak to Israel, he speaks to Jacob. Now, obviously, we know that the name gets changed, but it's really important to note that it's Jacob who he calls to. He says, Jacob, Jacob, I'm here. Please listen to me. And I think there's something really important about calling Jacob back to remind him of who he was. Jacob, the one that came out of his mother's womb second, hanging on to his brother's heel. In fact, the name Jacob, they say, might mean the holder of the heel, or it might mean the supplanter. But God is reminding Jacob of where he came from. And he's reminding him of who he was before he learnt to live with God's blessing. Because it was when he learnt to live with God's blessing under the name Israel that his name was changed to Israel. And what God says to Jacob is, don't be afraid to go to Egypt. Now, if you know the story, you will know that Jacob has fairly good reason to be afraid of going to Egypt. Firstly, in Genesis 12, his great-grandfather Abraham decided to go to Egypt when there was a famine, took his wife Sarah, but in order to protect her, because she was such a beautiful woman, What he did was pretend that Sarah was his sister. And in doing so, the Pharaoh took Sarah into his home and treated her like another wife until he found out. And then they were thrown out of Egypt. So that's one reason for Jacob not to want to go. And then his father, Isaac, in Genesis 26, when there was another famine, was told by God not to go to Egypt. And there's something about, there seems to be a connection about when the people of Israel are coming to experience famine, they want to go to Egypt. But this time, yet again, there's a famine. And this time, God says to Jacob, don't be afraid, go to Egypt. And yet, the chances are that Jacob was really afraid because of what he already knew. So I want to say to, I kind of imagine Jacob kind of biting the bullet, or in the words of the book, feel the fear and do it anyway. Because of course, Jacob was going to Egypt, but knowing that Joseph was there. There's something about the reading from the Gospel of Luke that we heard, the story of the prodigal son, that really echoes that same sense of a son who doesn't feel worthy to go to his father's arms, the one who loves him, so doesn't is afraid to go home. We read that he's afraid, that he's concerned, that he comes home and he kind of says, oh, well, you know, just treat me like one of your servants. And so what God does, what the father does is far from that. Instead of treating him like a servant, he embraces him as a son and gives him all the best things. And we see this in the story when Joseph and Jacob, or Israel, are reunited. Although it's the other way round, that a father is going to his son rather than a son coming to his father, there are real similarities. The first thing that we see is an awful lot of tears. An awful lot of tears. They embrace each other and they cry. And I suspect as our lockdowns get lifted after nearly 12 months of being mostly in lockdown and not able to embrace, when we finally are able to embrace those we love, be it children, be it parents, be it aunts and uncles, grandparents, or our friends, there will be a lot of tears because that closeness is something really important. And remember that what God said to Jacob is, Joseph will be the one who closes your eyes. And there's something really important to treasure there. What he's saying is, when you die, he will be the one that honours you and closes your eyes at the end of your life. Now, we know that Jacob actually went on to live quite some time after that. The other comparison is between the Luke story and this, is the way in which Joseph blesses Jacob with so much more than perhaps Jacob felt that he deserved. He's given Goshen, or in the place of Ramesses, and this is a really fertile land in Egypt for the animals to survive in. And although the shepherds, perhaps as shepherds, they're not seen as terribly clean people, it kind of doesn't matter, because what they've got is good land for their animals, which is really important. And God has seen to this in this story. And I think the last thing to remember in this, and maybe the most important, is that both the stories we've heard this morning are talking about returning into the arms of the one who loves us. And we can talk practically on a human level about returning to the arms of the ones that love us, especially on Mothering Sunday. But the one who loves us most is God. The one who restores our family relationships is God. And so on this day, that is the person that we can return into the arms of. The arms of God, the one who loves us. And I know that will bring us all some comfort until we are able to maybe hug and cry face to face with those who love us. Amen.